Another court ruling against the rights of Christians in the public square.
In a free society, you're supposed to have the ability to have your own opinion, to speak your own thoughts, to have your own beliefs, to teach, to express, to live. And more, what's happening is that your right under Section 2 of the Charter to disagree with certain popular cultural trends is being limited in favor of those trends. And that's not how the Constitution works or how it's supposed to work.
On the feature this week, an interview with lawyer Jay Cameron on a Manitoba appeals court ruling that strips a Christian marriage commissioner of his right not to perform same-sex weddings. In the news, preparations are continuing for the God and Government Conference in Ottawa, for sex ed controversy in Alberta, and ARPA Canada is getting some international attention.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Registrations are still being taken for ARPA's God and Government Conference in Ottawa. The conference runs from April 18th to 20th. You can register at the main ARPA webpage. Fina Dykstra is a member of the ARPA chapter in Smithers, B.C. She attended the conference a few years ago.
It was very much a learning experience, and anybody who has a heart for God in this country, I think, should be interested.
Dykstra says the conference was a real eye-opener, providing lots of learning opportunities.
There was obviously a lot I didn't know because I had never been to Ottawa or to the Parliament buildings and stuff like that, and just the protocol of how to talk to the politicians. I mean, that's something that's tough for people to, you know, the hurdle to get over, to talk on the phone or what kind of messages to write. And so those things, unless you take the time to sit down and learn slowly, those are huge challenges for people.
The registration deadline for this year's event is March 17th. There are still some spots left. More controversy in Alberta involving an organization that posted links to graphic sexual content on a government website last year. The Alberta Teachers Association hosted a teachers' conference in Calgary last week. And the keynote speaker was Dr. Christopher Wells from the Institute for Sexual Minority Studies and Services. It was that institute that posted those graphic links last year, links which were subsequently removed by the government after some parental rights activists drew attention to them. Donna Trimble from the group Parents for Choice in Education says the head of the ATA actually defended Dr. Wells after her group blew the whistle on this.
It was shocking to find out that the president of the ATA, Greg Jeffrey, published a public statement announcing confidence in the professionalism of this particular individual. And he actually went further and claimed that the legitimate concerns of parents and teachers who we know are flooding his email box were without merit, quote unquote. He dismissed parents and educators and demonized Parents for Choice in Education.
Trimble says Wells' attendance at the conference was first drawn to her group's attention by teachers who did so anonymously, because they were afraid of the consequences they might face. She says school trustees are also very reluctant to speak out on this.
I received emails from teachers stating that they feel professionally barred from challenging the ATA on issues like this one, in particular with the Institute for Sexual Minority Studies and Services, like they're a protected group. And we need to remember, trustees can be disbanded by the education minister. So they're in fear of losing their influence over the direction of their particular school boards. And the ATA can actually ask the Minister of Education to decertify teachers. So in a lot of cases, the educators and the trustees within the school system feel like they can't speak out, feel like they can't challenge this.
Trimble says while the conference was in Calgary, this issue actually has implications right across the country.
Please come to our website at parentchoice.ca, because the bottom line is that this man, Dr. Christopher Wells, and his institute has great influence in the country, all the way from the new SOGI sexual education programs being pushed in BC straight across to Ontario and some of the issues they see there. This man and his institute is greatly influential, not just here in the education in Alberta, but across the country.
And finally, ARPA Canada's work is starting to attract attention in other parts of the world. Reverend William Den Hollander is an ARPA board member. He's retired from active ministry, but has been filling vacant pulpits in the past year in New Zealand, Australia, and now in South Africa. He says pretty much everywhere he's been, there's been a lot of interest in the work that ARPA is doing here in Canada.
Certainly New Zealand and Australia, they are basically on the same page as what we see in the Western world, in the European countries, as well as in Canada. The liberalism, the secularism, also issues of abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide. They were very interested in checking out our ARPA Canada website and finding there that whole treasure cove for issues and matters that are so relevant in those countries as well. Especially last year when I spoke at the board meeting of ARPA Australia, you know, it was remarkable how much they could benefit from the respectfully submitted documents as well as other policy papers that are on the ARPA Canada website and, you know, make use of them for their particular situation. It was very exciting to see the interest in it and perhaps also to see a response coming out of it of a greater engagement for the political situation in the countries.
We'll have a full-length feature interview with Reverend Den Hollander on the program next week, an interview from his temporary home in Pretoria, South Africa. Back with more after this.
The 12-Step Action Plan is entering its 6th month in March. We've heard some great things from folks just like you who've decided to take a few hours out of their day to do something, to get to know an official, or to spread awareness about something they're passionate about. We'd love for you to share your stories and interactions with us at info@arpacanada.ca, and we'll share some of these on our website. For more about the 12-Step Action Plan, go to arpacanada.ca/12steps.
And we're back on the program. The highest court in Manitoba has issued a ruling in a case involving same-sex marriage and whether civil marriage commissioners have a constitutional right to refuse to perform those ceremonies. The case involved a man named Kevin Kisilowski. He had taken the Manitoba government to court when it ordered him to give up his commission because he refused to perform same-sex marriages. Mr. Kisilowski was represented in court by lawyer Jay Cameron with the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. I've got Mr. Cameron on the line. And I guess, Jay, I'd start by asking you for some background, some history on this. How did this really all get started?
So Mr. Kisilowski is a private guy. He's not a minister, but he works for a ministry whereby he ministers to street people, gangs, people who normally aren't serviced by a church. And in the course of that ministry, he would encounter people who, because of conviction, decided that they should get married. So he found himself in a position to, you know, be officiating these services, but he would have to have somebody else come in to do the legal part. And so he applied to be a private marriage commissioner in 2003, and he told Vital Statistics in Manitoba up front that he was comfortable only doing Christian services. And he didn't want to marry Wiccans or Hindus or atheists. And they said, no problem, as a private marriage commissioner, you have the option of being put on a private list. And he was put on a private list. That's been established now. His name was kept out of general circulation, and he wasn't accessible to the general public. He would just perform marriages in the course of his ministry where it was necessary. And everything was fine, and there was no conflict between the rights of Wiccans or Hindus or atheists or any other demographic of people until 2004, when the province of Manitoba decided that same-sex marriage would be legal. And on the same day that that decision came out in a case called Vogel, all the marriage commissioners in the province were instructed that they must begin to marry same-sex couples. And in that same letter, or on the same date, they got rid of the private list that Mr. Kisilowski was on, right? So they threw all the people who were on the private list into the public list, made them accessible to everybody, and said, now you have to marry whoever comes to you. And that created a conflict. The conflict didn't exist before Manitoba decided to get rid of the private list because nobody was approaching Mr. Kisilowski. Nobody, gay, straight, Hindu, atheist, nobody was approaching Mr. Kisilowski. In the context of his ministry, he was ascertaining a few couples who wanted to be married. And so that's essentially the foundation of the case. They told him he had to turn in his license, and he refused, and he sued for a declaration that Section 2A of the Charter was infringed by requiring him to marry same-sex couples.
I'm looking at the ruling here, and one of the things that intrigues me, because you've already touched on it, paragraph 10 of the ruling says, and I quote, Manitoba denies that there ever existed a private list to perform only Christian marriages. However, they do admit there was, at the time, a public list of marriage commissioners and a list of people who didn't want their names to be made public. Is that part of the central dispute here?
Yes, it is, because initially Manitoba denied, from Mr. Kieslowski's perspective, Manitoba denied the existence of a private list. But in the course of the first hearing in front of the lower court in Manitoba, it came out that there was a private list and that Mr. Kieslowski's name was on it. And so that is an established fact now. What's interesting about that is that there was an accommodation for people who didn't want to be on the public list for whatever reason, whether that reason was religious or whether that reason was privacy or what have you. There was a private list and there were people on it. Mr. Kieslowski was on it. That's established fact. What also is established fact is that Manitoba decided when same-sex marriage became legal, this is the catalyst, that it would get rid of that private list in order to compel all marriage commissioners to marry same-sex couples. And so that's a central issue in this case because they didn't have to do that. They decided to do that. And, you know, that's big, right? Because it created the conflict. There wasn't a conflict before that. And what we're saying is that in a free society where you have people of a variety of different beliefs about marriage and sexuality and God and atheism and agnosticism, that in such a society, if gay people want to get married, it's legal in Canada. There are lots of people who will perform the service. That's the law. But on the flip side, if there's somebody who doesn't want to perform the service because of their particular perspective on morality or the teaching of a particular religion, then in a free society, those rights should also be accommodated. And the amazing thing is that in this case, they were accommodated. The private list was an accommodation, and Manitoba decided to cease that accommodation. And what we're saying is that that was an act of discrimination.
It's interesting because the ruling from the appeals court says that Mr. Kieslowski's rights were infringed. But in spite of this, the decision was reasonable because the other rights trump these rights. It's the old competing rights issue, and how does that balance out? That's the core of this ruling from the appeals court, right?
Well, there's a number of different facets. The charter jurisprudence, the law from the courts, says that you can't have a hierarchy of rights in regard to charter rights, and that in the event of a conflict, the proper thing to do is to delineate the rights or classify the rights so that you don't have a conflict. So you treat them in such a manner whereby you accommodate both rights. And what we're saying is that that private list accommodated those rights. And the only reason there was a conflict, if there was a conflict, is because Manitoba decided to get rid of the private list. So Mr. Kieslowski, before same-sex marriage became legal, he wouldn't marry all sorts of people. And Manitoba was just fine with that. He wouldn't marry atheists or Hindus or Muslims or agnostics. He wanted to marry only Christian people. And Manitoba was fine with that. They accommodated that. And he was on a private list because of that. And there was no evidence of harm to anybody. But as soon as same-sex marriage came in, all of a sudden there's a harm to that particular demographic. That's what Manitoba is arguing. And so they created a hierarchy of rights where same-sex rights or LGBTQ rights are at the top and everybody else's rights are underneath. And that's not how Canada is supposed to work. We see that playing out in other areas of society these days as well, right? In a free society, you're supposed to have the ability to have your own opinion, to speak your own thoughts, to have your own beliefs, to teach, to express, to live. And more, what's happening is that your right under Section 2 of the Charter to disagree with certain popular cultural trends is being limited in favor of those trends. And that's not how the Constitution works or how it's supposed to work.
So this is being appealed to the Supreme Court of Canada now?
We're contemplating an appeal. You don't have an appeal as of right in Canada with this case. You have to ask for leave to appeal, and we are contemplating whether or not we're going to take that step.
Okay, sir. That's all we need. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
My pleasure, Al. Anytime.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.